Chapter 74. Mr. Blandois, in his most gentlemanly manner, was afraid he had disturbed her by unhappily presenting himself at such an unconscionable time, for which he had already offered his best apologies to Mr. He begged pardon, but by name, had not the distinguished honor Mr. Flintwinch has been connected with the house many years. Apostrophe, Mr. Blandois was Mr. Flintwinch's most obedient humble servant. He entreated Mr. Flintwinch to receive the assurance of his profoundest consideration. My husband being dead, apostrophe said Mrs. Clennam, and my son preferring another pursuit, our old house has no other representative in these days than Mr. Flintwinch. Apostrophe, what do you call yourself? Apostrophe, apostrophe was the surly demand of that gentleman. You have the head of two men. Apostrophe, my sex disqualifies me, apostrophe she proceeded with merely a slight turn of her eyes in Jeremiah's direction, from taking a responsible part in the business, even if I had the ability, and therefore Mr. Flintwinch combines my interest with his own, and conducts it. It is not what it used to be. But some of our old friends, principally the writers of this letter, have the kindness not to forget us, and we retain the power of doing what they entrust to us as efficiently as we ever did. This, however, is not interesting to you. You are English, sir? Apostrophe, apostrophe, faith, madam, no, I am neither born nor bred in England. In effect, I am of no country, apostrophe said Mr. Blandois, stretching out his leg and smiting it. I descend from half a dozen countries. Apostrophe, you have been much about the world? Apostrophe, apostrophe, it is true. By heaven, madam, I have been here and there and everywhere. Apostrophe, apostrophe, you have no ties, probably. Are not married? Apostrophe, madam, apostrophe said Mr. Blandois, with an ugly fall of his eyebrows, I adore your sex, but I am not married, never was. Apostrophe, Mistress Affery, who stood at the table near him, pouring out the tea, happened in her dreamy state to look at him as he said these words, and to fancy that she caught an expression in his eyes which attracted her own eyes, so that she could not get them away. The effect of this fancy was to keep her staring at him with the teapot in her hand, not only to her own great uneasiness, but manifestly to his too, and, through them both, to Mrs. Clennam's and Mr. Flintwinch's. Thus a few ghostly moments supervened, when they were all confusedly staring without knowing why. Affery, apostrophe her mistress was the first to say, what is the matter with you? Apostrophe, apostrophe, I don't know, apostrophe said Mistress Affery, with her disengaged left hand extended towards the visitor. It ain't me. It's him. Apostrophe, what does this good woman mean? Apostrophe, apostrophe, cried Mr. Blandois, turning white, hot, and slowly rising with a look of such deadly wrath, that it contrasted surprisingly with the slight force of his words. How is it possible to understand this good creature? Apostrophe, apostrophe, it's not possible, apostrophe said Mr. Flintwinch, screwing himself rapidly in that direction. She don't know what she means. She's an idiot, a wanderer in her mind. She shall have a dose, she shall have such a dose. Get along with you, my woman, apostrophe he added in her ear, get along with you, while you know your Affery, and before you're shaken to yeast. Apostrophe, Mistress Affery, sensible of the danger in which her identity stood, relinquished the teapot as her husband seized it, put her apron over her head, and in a twinkling vanished. The visitor gradually broke into a smile, and sat down again. You'll excuse her, Mr. Blandois, apostrophe said Jeremiah, pouring out the tea himself, she's failing and breaking up, that's what she's about. Do you take sugar, sir? Apostrophe, thank you, no tea for me. Pardon my observing it, but that's a very remarkable watch. Apostrophe, apostrophe, the tea table was drawn up near the sofa, with a small interval between it, and Mrs. Clennam's own particular table. Mr. Blandois in his gallantry had risen to hand that lady her tea. Her dish of toast was already there, and it was in placing the cup conveniently within her reach that the watch, lying before her as it always did, attracted his attention. Mrs. Clennam looked suddenly up at him. May I be permitted?
Thank you.
A fine old-fashioned watch, apostrophe he said, taking it in his hand. Heavy for use, but massive and genuine. I have a partiality for everything genuine. Such as I am genuine myself. Ha! A gentleman's watch with two cases in the old fashion. May I remove it from the outer case?
Thank you.
An old silk watch lining, worked with beads. I have often seen these among old Dutch people and Belgians. Quaint things. They are old-fashioned too, said Mrs. Clennam. Very. But this is not so old as the watch, I think. I think not. Extraordinary how they used to complicate these ciphers. Remarked Mr. Blandois, glancing up with his own smile again. Now is this DNF? It might be almost anything. Those are the letters. Mr. Flintwinch, who had been observantly pausing all this time with a cup of tea in his hand, and his mouth open ready to swallow the contents, began to do so. Always entirely filling his mouth, before he emptied it at a gulp, and always deliberating again, before he refilled it. DNF was some tender, lovely, fascinating fair creature, I make no doubt, observed Mr. Blandois, as he snapped on the case again. I adore her memory on the assumption. Unfortunately for my peace of mind, I adore but too readily. It may be a vice, it may be a virtue, but adoration of female beauty and merit constitutes three parts of my character, madam. Mr. Flintwinch had by this time poured himself out another cup of tea, which he was swallowing in gulps as before, with his eyes directed to the invalid. You may be heart-free here, sir, she returned to Mr. Blandois. Those letters are not intended, I believe, for the initials of any name. Of a motto, perhaps, said Mr. Blandois, casually. Of a sentence. They have always stood, I believe, for do not forget. Unnaturally, said Mr. Blandois, replacing the watch and stepping backward to his former chair, you do not forget. Mr. Flintwinch, finishing his tea, not only took a longer gulp than he had taken yet, but made a succeeding pause under new circumstances. That is to say, with his head thrown back and his cup held still at his lips, while his eyes were still directed at the invalid. She had that force of face, and that concentrated air of collecting her firmness or obstinacy, which represented in her case, what would have been gesture and action in another, as she replied with her deliberate strength of speech. No, sir, I do not forget. To lead a life as monotonous as mine has been during many years, is not the way to forget. To lead a life of self-correction is not the way to forget. To be sensible of having, as we all have, every one of us, all the children of Adam, offenses to expiate, and peace to make, does not justify the desire to forget. Therefore I have long dismissed it, and I neither forget nor wish to forget. Mr. Flintwinch, who had latterly been shaking the sediment at the bottom of his teacup, round and round, here gulped it down, and putting the cup in the tea tray, as done with, turned his eyes upon Mr. Blandois, as if to ask him what he thought of that. All expressed, madam, said Mr. Blandois, with his smoothest bow and his white hand on his breast, by the word naturally, which I am proud to have had sufficient apprehension and appreciation, but without appreciation I could not be Blandois, to employ. Pardon me, sir, she returned, if I doubt the likelihood of a gentleman of pleasure, and change, and politeness, accustomed to court, and to be courted, oh madam, by heaven, apostrophe, if I doubt the likelihood of such a character quite comprehending what belongs to mine in my circumstances. Not to obtrude doctrine upon you, apostrophe, she looked at the rigid pile of hard pale books before her, apostrophe, for you go your own way, and the consequences are on your own head, I will say this much. That I shape my course by pilots, strictly by proved and tried pilots, under whom I cannot be shipwrecked, cannot be, and that if I were unmindful of the admonition conveyed in those three letters, I should not be half as chastened as I am. Apostrophe, it was curious how she seized the occasion to argue with some invisible opponent. Perhaps with her own better sense, always turning upon herself and her own deception. If I forgot my ignorances in my life of health and freedom, I might complain of the life to which I am now condemned. I never do, I never have done. If I forgot that this scene, the earth, is expressly meant to be a scene of gloom, and hardship, and dark trial, for the creatures who are made out of its dust, I might have some tenderness for its vanities. But I have no such tenderness. If I did not know that we are, every one, the subject, most justly the subject, of a wrath, that must be satisfied, and against which mere actions are nothing, I might repine at the difference between me, imprisoned here, and the people who pass that gateway yonder. But I take it as a grace, and favor to be elected to make the satisfaction I am making here, to know what I know for certain here, and to work out what I have worked out here. My affliction might otherwise have had no meaning to me. Hence I would forget, and I do forget, nothing. Hence I am contented, and say it is better with me than with millions. Apostrophe, as she spoke these words, she put her hand upon the watch, and restored it to the precise spot on her little table which it always occupied. With her touch lingering upon it, she sat for some moments afterwards, looking at it steadily and half defiantly. Mr. Blandois, during this exposition, had been strictly attentive, keeping his eyes fastened on the lady, and thoughtfully stroking his mustache with his two hands. Mr. Flintwinch had been a little fidgety, and now struck in. There. Apostrophe, said he. That is quite understood, Mrs. Clennam, and you have spoken piously and well. Mr. Blandois, I suspect, is not of a pious cast. Apostrophe, on the contrary, sir. Apostrophe, that gentleman protested, snapping his fingers. Your pardon. It's a part of my character. I am sensitive, ardent, conscientious, and imaginative. A sensitive, ardent, conscientious, and imaginative man, Mr. Flintwinch, must be that, or nothing. Apostrophe, there was an inkling of suspicion in Mr. Flintwinch's face, that he might be nothing, as he swaggered out of his chair.
It was characteristic of this man, as it is of all men similarly marked, that whatever he did, he overdid, though it were sometimes by only a hair's breadth,
and approached to take his leave of Mrs. Clennam. With what will appear to you the egotism of a sick old woman, sir, apostrophe, she then said, though really through your accidental allusion, I have been led away into the subject of myself and my infirmities. Being so considerate as to visit me, I hope you will be likewise so considerate as to overlook that. Don't compliment me, if you please. Apostrophe, for he was evidently going to do it. Mr. Flintwinch will be happy to render you any service, and I hope your stay in this city may prove agreeable. Apostrophe, Mr. Blandois thanked her, and kissed his hand several times. This is an old room, apostrophe, he remarked, with a sudden sprightliness of manner, looking round when he got near the door. I have been so interested, that I have not observed it. But it's a genuine old room. Apostrophe, it is a genuine old house, apostrophe, said Mrs. Clennam, with her frozen smile. A place of no pretensions, but a piece of antiquity. Apostrophe, faith. Apostrophe, cried the visitor. If Mr. Flintwinch would do me the favor to take me through the rooms on my way out, he could hardly oblige me more. An old house is a weakness with me. I have many weaknesses, but none greater. I love and study the picturesque in all its varieties. I have been called picturesque myself. It is no merit to be picturesque. I have greater merits, perhaps, but I may be, by an accident. Sympathy, sympathy. Apostrophe, I tell you beforehand, Mr. Blandois, that you will find it very dingy and very bare, apostrophe said Jeremiah, taking up the candle. It's not worth your looking at. But Mr. Blandois, smiting him in a friendly manner on the back, only laughed. So the said Blandois kissed his hand again to Mrs. Clennam, and they went out of the room together. You don't care to go upstairs? Apostrophe, apostrophe said Jeremiah, on the landing. On the contrary, Mr. Flintwinch, if not tiresome to you, I shall be ravished. Apostrophe, apostrophe, Mr. Flintwinch, therefore, wormed himself up the staircase, and Mr. Blandois followed close. They ascended to the great garret bedroom which Arthur had occupied on the night of his return. There, Mr. Blandois. Apostrophe, apostrophe said Jeremiah, showing it, I hope you may think that worth coming so high to see. I confess I don't. Apostrophe, Mr. Blandois being enraptured, they walked through other garrets and passages, and came down the staircase again. By this time Mr. Flintwinch had remarked that he never found the visitor looking at any room, after throwing one quick glance around, but always found the visitor looking at him, Mr. Flintwinch. With this discovery in his thoughts, he turned about on the staircase for another experiment. He met his eyes directly, and on the instant of their fixing one another, the visitor, with that ugly play of nose and mustache, laughed
as he had done at every similar moment since they left Mrs. Clennam's chamber, a diabolically silent laugh.
As a much shorter man than the visitor, Mr. Flintwinch was at the physical disadvantage of being thus disagreeably leered at from a height, and as he went first down the staircase, and was usually a step or two lower than the other, this disadvantage was at the time increased. He postponed looking at Mr. Blandois again until this accidental inequality was removed by their having entered the late Mr. Clennam's room. But, then twisting himself suddenly round upon him, he found his look unchanged. A most admirable old house, apostrophe smiled Mr. Blandois. So mysterious. Do you never hear any haunted noises here? Apostrophe, apostrophe, noises, apostrophe returned Mr. Flintwinch. No. Apostrophe, nor see any devils? Apostrophe, apostrophe, not, apostrophe said Mr. Flintwinch, grimly screwing himself at his questioner, not any that introduce themselves under that name, and in that capacity. Apostrophe. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.